Jesus the Savior.
Jesus the Savior. It can take many forms. We have Jesus the Savior who saves us from our sins. We have Jesus the Savior that saves us from our fears. We have Jesus the Savior that saves us from loneliness. And we have Jesus the Savior that saves us from worthlessness. There are many, many other things as well, but those are the kind of quick four things that I just want to talk about today. So the one that we just read about in Romans talks about how Jesus the Savior saves us from our sins. And this time of Lent, and we're going through these things, coming up to Easter, and that might take a very unusual look this year as to what happens with this COVID-19 and how it impacts our society and what Easter is going to look like and how our celebrations change and all those kinds of things. And yet God is in the midst of that too. There were times in our church histories that we couldn't gather in a large place together. And yet the church still continued. The church will still continue. Even if we don't meet in this building for the next 2 weeks. God still works in our lives. God still sends His Holy Spirit. God rescues us regardless of whether this building is here or not. Savior from fear. Can we have our storm slide? So there's a scripture that goes with this, and it's from Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. And Dolores, I'm going to give you time to look that up. So one of the really interesting things about our congregation is there are many different faith stories that come here. And Dolores reminded me of one that was very popular for me growing up in the East Coast, and I always, always bring your Bible with you, and when the minister was talking, you'd look up the scripture and you'd follow along in your own Bible and those kinds of things. And we've kind of got away from that in this congregation, and we have our Bibles in our pews, and then we have the scriptures that come up and do those kinds of things. But I thought, yeah, I really kind of like that. And thank you, Dolores, for reminding me of that tradition for me, that carry my Bible with me. I actually have my Bible with me today. I'm not going to preach from it because it's a different version than the one in our pews. So I just want to thank you. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 8. And it's dealing with Jesus calms the storm. Starting in verse 22. One day, Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. And a windstorm swept down the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. And they went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing!" And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and they ceased. And there was calm, and he said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed and said to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" So, yeah, we'll just leave that slide up for a minute. So, to go along with my mission month kind of thing, is there an echo, or is it just me? Are people hearing an echo? It's just me. Okay. That's fine. As long as it's just me, I'm okay. So, the InterVarsity staff worker who I spent a lot of years with in Fredericton, New Brunswick, his name is David Haney, and he was an avid canoeist, like I was talking about in Children's Story. And he would do canoe trips for university students, for high school students, for international students, many, many different situations. And one of the stories that kind of really brings close to mind is we were doing the lake system above the St. Croix River. And we headed out and we had a few smaller statured Asian students with us. And we were canoeing across this lake and we got headwinds coming up. And so we were taking fairly inexperienced people out in this lake to get from point A to point B, and we had to get to our campsite that night and that type of thing. And it's really, really hard for inexperienced canoeists to keep the canoe straight. When we took our high school students out last year on just on the Oxbow up near Brantford, it was hard enough just keeping the canoe straight in the river, much less on a lake with headwinds, because it would blow you this way or blow you that way, and eventually it would blow you right around and you're going backwards down the lake the wrong way. It can be a very scary time. And I remember thinking, what are we going to do with this? God, how are we going to deal with this? We were panicking, we were stressed, you know, as hard as we were fighting, we couldn't seem to get things where we were going. And eventually what we did is we took the really, really strong canoes and we put them in the lead canoe and we tied them to the Asian students' canoes. And we had this little, like a little row of ducklings following along behind Mama Duck. And that kept us into the wind at just the right angle. And they could still paddle, but they didn't have to worry about steering the canoe. And we got to the point that we needed to get to. And by the time we got there, we were exhausted. I mean, we were just battling and battling, battling these headwinds. And yet afterwards, the beautiful peace of, thank you, God, that we made it through this. And when we go through those stressful times and we come out the other side, it's a very joyous thing. We get to see how God worked in our lives, even through the midst of all that struggle and all that stress. And we're very aware that God is with us in that time. Now, can we get our sunset up there? So, later that night, the winds died down and got nice and calm again, and we had the beautiful sunset, and we were sitting out on in this little area where there's big pine trees, sitting down near the shore, and we got our Bibles out, and we were just sharing a few psalms. And it was like, thank you, God, for this experience. Thank you for the wonder of your creation. Thank you for the way that people help each other when they are in times of need. It was just a wonderful God moment. And each one of us has a God moment in different places. And so we're just going to go through some of those things as we look at Lent and we look at how God works in those things. So God is a Savior. Jesus is a Savior from our sins. Jesus is a Savior from our fear. He's also a Savior from loneliness. And can we get our slide of the sandbar? I think that's the next one, right? There's our lonely sandbar. There's nothing going on, just there. Right? And there's a story that goes along with that sandbar. Now, I shared a little bit about Charlie Harvey last week. And I called him this week and I said, Charlie, thank you so much for reading your story. And do you mind if I use another one this week? And he says, no, go right ahead. And we talked a little bit about the whole COVID, there we go, COVID-19, and he's 88 years old, and he was talking about how his grandmother, during the Spanish flu, just after World War I, and how that had spread, and what a devastating thing it was for the people in the community that he lived, or his mother, his grandmother lived in, and just how had a huge impact on the communities and how you took a risk of being a caregiver. We don't have the same kind of medical things today that we had then. And he just talked about his grandmother who had her family at home who were healthy. And there were many, many, many people in their village who were sick. And some families were so sick that they couldn't look after themselves. And he says, you know, my grandmother, she went and she nursed them all back to health at the risk of her own and her own family. And I thought, that's quite a challenge. And I don't know if I could live up to that. And I know that we're talking with John Wallace, he was talking about how do we as a church, how are we going to live up to our calling as a congregation as to how we're going to deal with the people in our community that are suffering and dealing with those things. Anyway, so dealing with loneliness. The river was like a mirror on a beautiful, lazy summer Sunday morning. Ronald, that's Charlie's brother, and I would meander down to the sandbar that formed the extended shoreline of Oromocto Island. We weren't allowed to go swimming on Sunday, but we were allowed a bath in the river. To swim meant to make lots of noisy fun. The Sunday bath was an essence of serenity. We rowed quietly, talked in a subdued manner, and took time to drink in the beauty of our surroundings. After securing the rowboat, we took out our soap and proceeded to have a thorough bath, removing all the grime that may have been missed previously. There's our two boys. And we'll leave that up for a minute. Exploring would best describe the next hour. We could wade a half mile in three directions because the St. John River at that point, it's very, very wide, but it's not really, really deep. The sand was a golden brown under the mirror surface. The swirling spring floodwaters washed the sand clean of silt. We encountered myriads of little fish in schools. They swarmed over the sand drifts as though they were touring a water-covered desert. There were no plants at all. Occasionally a fat, lazy eel slithered aimlessly along the bottom. The clams intrigued me. Can we get, there they are. We'll leave that slide up for a bit. Now, that's supposed to be pictures of clams. And Janet was careful to note that it doesn't really necessarily look like clams, but those little lumps that you think are rocks are actually clams on the bottom of the water. Their tiny, twisty trails were everywhere. The larger ones lived in about 3 feet of water in order to evade the waterfowl that ate them. Most of the brown, drab clams were interesting to observe, but all their beauty was inside. And there were plenty of empty shells around as well. I was always careful not to get pinched in the closing shell, as their muscles were much stronger than mine. Harry Smith told us a tale of a poor old meadow hen, or a crane, which had her mouth sealed shut by an angry clam, according to him. The bird would have starved to death if he hadn't rescued it. Years ago, four of us, three Canadians and an Englishman, were asked to investigate the living conditions of a few thousand refugees who lived in a big islands situated in the last 100 kilometers before the mouth of Congo. So this is when Charlie was looking after the Zairean refugees. We thought we had seen a hippo head. And sure enough, he dived and we began to circle around. Now this is before we kind of knew that hippos are not really people that are not things that you want to play with. We were anxious, and suddenly I spotted him almost directly under our little boat, about 12 feet under the surface. He was swimming rapidly while all four big legs going out to the side, doing a turbulent breaststroke. We never got within a half mile of the beast when he was above the water. It was an unforgivable sight. Only later we learned that such a disturbed creature was capable of smashing a small boat. And we had thought this huge vegetarianism was harmless. But no, In fact, a few years later, a person was actually killed in that same area when the mother was trying to defend one of her baby hippos. In the untamed waters of African rivers, there are multiple possibilities of surprise and sometimes danger. We have seen fascinating creatures because we have been on the spot where they live. Living with the intention of being available to help new friends discover Jesus for themselves is also an adventure. Like I was sharing with Royer earlier, you share the gifts that you have and the ways that you see God. You share that with the people around you. We're not creating something foreign to us. We're just sharing who we are. We risk getting hurt, not physically, but emotionally. We can expect to be misunderstood and misinterpreted and sometimes rejected. Occasionally, we will see marvelous transformations and an entrance into a rich and rewarding fellowship of local believers. No two creations of God are alike, whether they are clams, crocs, hippos, or people. We are expected to take risks wherever in the world we are living, with our hearts managed by Jesus. Paul and Barnabas were seen first as gods in human form, only later to be stoned by the same mob when agitated. Living for Jesus risks, hurts and all, is a living life at its fullest, both short-term and long-term. You may even wade in fascinating rivers along the way. Jesus put it this way: if anyone would come after me, he must first deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He wants us to intentionally follow him, whatever the risk or cost. And I've found in my life that when I am doing the things that Jesus asks me to do, the loneliness disappears. I could be in a totally isolated place with no one around except nature and God, and loneliness disappears. And yet I could be in the busiest street in downtown Toronto and feel incredibly lonely. Because when God is with us and with you, and you're doing the things that God would have you to do, he takes that loneliness away. It was a transforming thing in my life just to experience that, to realize that even though I didn't have, quote, thousands of friends, that I had God. And it just was transforming. And my last point tonight, or today, is Savior from worthlessness. And I'm going to read Luke chapter 9,21-25. He sternly ordered and commanded them not to tell anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit them if they gain the whole world, but lose or forfeit themselves?" So in our various experiences in life, I just want to encourage you that God is always there that His Spirit is always with us, encouraging us in times of loneliness, in times of doubt, in times of fear. He's always there, always guiding us, always rescuing us if we need it.